listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio.
It's a horrible rainy day in Stratford today, but never mind, you may well be having your lunch so you can stay in the warm and talk about chocolate, because that's just the right thing to do on a horrible rainy day. We have a fascinating guest on This Much I Know. As you know, it's not how much I know, but it's the wisdom of my guests. And today we have Simon Reed of Experience Chocolate on the show. And I believe some chocolate will be experienced, won't it, Simon?
Indeed it will.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, at Experience Chocolate, they just love chocolate and everything that goes with it. So we're going to talk about how Simon became a chocolatier and what the company does, and a few little extra sidelines as well. So if you just love chocolate, if you have any opinions about it, or would like to know how Simon has got what for some people must be the best job in the world, then send in questions or comments to me at info@myscr.co.uk. That really seems the right thing to do today. I was walking through Stratford in the pouring rain, and it just occurred to me that if an alien landed from the planet Zarg today, he would think that all earthlings were mushroom-shaped people, because it is the land of the black umbrella out there today. With there must be some people selling cheap fluorescent ones as well, because in between the black ones were the odd fluorescent yellow and fuchsia coloured umbrellas. So stay with us today and listen to chocolate and related things while you are having your lunch. Sam is here. I believe Sam will be doing some of the experiencing of the chocolate.
Indeed I will.
And looking forward to that, no doubt. And it wouldn't be This Much I Know without a cheesily relevant segue. Now, we started off with Jackie Wilson, and I get the sweetest feeling, which was kind of suitably getting you into a chocolatey mood. And it wasn't so much dredging the CD collection of the King Turners today, but actually two popped into my head with minimum effort. And I'm sure you can guess who at least one of the artists is going to be. So we're going to start off with Hot Chocolate and I Believe in Miracles, and Shanks and Bigfoot with Sweet Like Chocolate.
MyScr.co.uk.
This is Jackie King Turner. You're listening to This Much I Know on Stratford Community Radio. And in case you didn't get the hint, we are having a chocolatey day today because we have Simon Reed here of Experience Chocolate. And that was my cheesily relevant segue, which was Hot Chocolate, I Believe in Miracles, and Shanks and Bigfoot, Sweet Like Chocolate, which I'm amazed to say even Sam remembered. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That wasn't so much of a dredge as a, I know I've got this on my CD collection somewhere. The big challenge was actually finding it. Anyway, we are going to talk chocolate experiences today. But can I just remind you that This Much I Know has a Facebook page, so if you want to see photos of previous guests and information on guests that will be coming on in the future, then go to Facebook and go to This Much I Know. If you're not on Facebook and would like to listen to any of the shows again, you can go to www.thismuchiknow.org.uk, where you will find the podcast site. I would say, though, if you know of anyone who would be an interesting guest, or if you have any comments, then either send them to me while I'm on air, info@myscr.co.uk, or put a comment on the Facebook page, because we'd love to hear from you. And I get stats every week, so do you, Sam?
Yeah.
And it's really nice to see the numbers going up. So we just like it if you go and look. So please go and look. And if you feel brave, then write something too. But in the meantime, Simon, you must have, for some people, the most ideal job in the world. So tell us how you became a chocolatier.
It's a little bit of a complicated story because I started out life as a lawyer. So something very different indeed, and trained as a lawyer, worked as a lawyer in practice, partly as a lecturer. A few years ago now, probably 2, 3, 4 years ago, it became a bit difficult for various reasons. And I was looking for a change. I was looking more for a change of career path within the law. But in fact, my wife bought into or took over the little business, Experience Chocolate, in the Midlands area, more as a hobby business, actually. It was, came about when my little son was in hospital and she was looking to take a bit more time out, but maybe run a little business herself. And this was perfect, and she was very keen on it. And it started off, and I effectively moved sideways into the business from the law. We saw the potential, and we both enjoyed the potential of the business and the chocolate that goes with it. So as I say, my background partly is in lecturing as well, so the presentation of the classes, and essentially what we do is run hands-on chocolate making events. So it's very much the public come in, we show them the skills and techniques of chocolate making. It's built around fun and informative afternoon or morning, and everybody goes away with the chocolates that they've made, and they are of a very high quality. We make sure we use very high quality ingredients, and within that I've learnt the skills, and worked with other chocolatiers, which is really where chocolatiers learn their skills from. It's passing on that knowledge from hand to hand through other professionals that you gain the skills and knowledge, coupled with what I think are my abilities in presenting classes, and you end up with a winning formula.
Now, I wouldn't want to take anyone away from the show, but if you're listening to this and drooling slightly, you can actually go to Simon's website, can't you? While still keeping us on air. Don't
yes.
think about going away. You can still keep listening to This Much I Know. But do you want to tell people your website? Then they can go and have a quick sneaky look.
Indeed. There are two websites. There's www.experiencechocolate, all one word, .co.uk. And that gives all the details of our workshops and dates and everything else. And we've also got a more general website, www.experiences.co.uk, because we also have a couple of other areas of experiences that we're developing, gardening courses and also teepees and teepee hire. So we're trying to actually structure the business a little more formally now to show people that we can do a range of different events for them in those different areas.
And glamping is very now, isn't
Absolutely,
it?
Yeah, very much so. Yes. It's all good fun. We're not trying to go quite to the extent of having a four-poster in the teepee, but it's that combination of something a bit different, but also getting back to nature and being quite... because what we do is rugs and blankets and those sort of things on the floor, so you feel quite at home whilst being secure from the elements as well. And very striking.
That sounds like my family will laugh if I express enthusiasm for that idea, knowing as they do that I've never actually slept under canvas in my life ever at all. And until they invent the ground with a plug-in socket for my hairdryer, I think I'm unlikely to. But I keep thinking maybe it will be a nice idea.
Yeah, it's great fun, yeah. And we do lots of different things with that as well. It's either hiring out for events or children's parties. We got involved with, I think it was American Vogue in the week, and did a photo shoot with them, so it was good fun.
Oh, well, if you've made it with them, then that's it. The phone will not stop ringing. Now, a couple of years ago, I bought my cousin and her husband an NVQ in chocolate.
Excellent.
And it came in a box.
Yes.
And there were various exercises and various things to eat. So I'm sure what you've done is really not like that at all. So how did you get from your lawyer? Obviously, they're standing up and presenting training. I could see you could do that anyway.
Yeah.
But how do you get from being a consumer of chocolate to being someone who can train people how to make
sure.
it?
Sure. Well, the business we're in, we work with a company called Chocolate Delight, and a gentleman there called Jerry Wilton established the format and the structure of the workshops. And he was has been a chocolatier at the Ritz in Paris and London. So he's in a sense, the guiding force behind the overall package and format, and we've worked closely with him, but there's also a very good academy down in Banbury actually, and a number of courses I've taken there to enhance my skills and techniques. But as I say, you're working and learning from other chocolatiers, and say particularly Jerry down in Bournemouth he's based.
Gosh, so what, bearing in mind I live between here and Banbury, where is it in Banbury?
It's actually in Banbury. If you may not know that the biggest chocolate maker in the world is a Belgian company called Barry Callebaut, who's nobody's ever heard of, but they make chocolate for everybody, and their UK manufacturing base is in Banbury, and they have a chocolate academy attached to the manufacturing plant there as well, which is separate but inclusive, and they bring over their Belgian chocolatiers from the Belgian academy to present courses and involve professionals, particularly what you call artisan chocolatiers, the small scale gourmet chocolatiers working on with small scale batches and small scale chocolate production,
and we that's what
that
you
category.
Want.
Yeah, yeah, that's
because sometimes that's right. Banbury smells quite strange, and I always put that down to Kraft General Foods making weird concoctions. But maybe it's just
yeah,
not
well,
that.
Well, Barry Callebaut is just round the corner, so they're not far away. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Yes, because moving swiftly on, I'm sure their chocolate maybe smells a bit nicer than the big factories, but couldn't possibly say, as it provides employment and money for lots of people in the Banbury area.
This is Stratford Community Radio.
We were deciding whether it was appropriate to rustle chocolate on chocolate papers on air, and whether it was appropriate to eat chocolate on air, and we decided the rustling was okay, but you probably didn't want to hear people munching, so we will do, well, I won't, because I did have to admit to Simon on the phone earlier that I can't eat chocolate. I'm afraid I am a nightmare, as high maintenance as it gets regarding food, being celiac and not being able to eat chocolate. So I will be allowing Sam to taste the chocolate and come up with an opinion, which is more than do you like it? Yes. So, and why do you like it? I don't know. Looks nice. So we will give Sam a couple of tracks to think of some appropriate responses while he probably flies around the ceiling on a sugar high from eating them. And I have to say, even I am so envious because they look amazing. And Simon, you are going to have to get a very chocolatiery with carob. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that'll be my next venture.
That can be your next challenge for nightmare high maintenance food people like me, so that we can still come along. Before we get back to chocolate, I had a very interesting phone call this week with Jane Hornby, who is the organiser of the Holy Trinity Medieval Fair, which is going to take place on Saturday, the 12th of June. And in fact, if she can, she's going to pop in next week and have a chat to us about it. But it seemed like such a good event, I thought I would mention it. I would take a few minutes away from chocolate to mention it. It's on Saturday, the 12th of June. It's a very special day for Holy Trinity Church. It's the 800th anniversary of the church, and they're staging a medieval fair from 10 till 5. And it does really, I mean, everybody says it's an event not to be missed. Well, I think this one might well be worth a visit, either if you're in Stratford anyway or making a special trip in. There will be archery demonstrations, beekeeping. You know, this much I know is into beekeeping. We've had lots of beekeeping bods on the show. Weaving, spinning and dyeing. You never know, if we all run out of electricity, we may need to learn these skills. Felt making. I think that's boiling wool. But again, all good skills when you can't get synthetic fleece anymore. Blacksmithing, calligraphy, basket making, coracle making. And I read something in the paper that you may be able to race a coracle, or somebody may race a coracle across the river. And much more. There'll be exhibitions of stained glass, ceramics, lavender, historical armour, jewellery. Oh, chocolate. Are you coming? Or is that somebody else?
I wasn't aware, no. Not me at the moment.
Oh, okay. How dare there be somebody else that isn't experienced chocolate? Early music, needlework, wood turning, plants, artwork, historical children's costumes and candles. Added to which, the day will be full of activities. Music, singing, dancing, I think some of which you can join in, actually. Acting, children's activities, theatre, storytelling, juggling and games. And I also have, which I won't read out to you because frankly there's just too much on, Jane has a schedule for the day, which is every quarter of an hour. So even if there's something there that you think, might miss that one, it'll only be quarter of an hour till something else comes on that I'm sure you would find absolutely really fascinating. You can even eat as well. There will be a pig roast available throughout the day. And the good news is the admission is free. There will be a small charge for some activities, but she's got people from all over the country as well as local artisan people to come. And oh, look, there's the falconry as well. That will be good, with a tawny owl and a barn owl. A donkey, I'm presuming it's a real one rather than the pantomime one that we have with Miramar. And loads of children's activities, decorating a shield, making a stained glass window from card and cellophane, not glass, parents, in case you're worried, rolling a beeswax candle, making salt dough pieces, brass rubbing, making a medieval tile, decorating a crown. The list goes on and on. Basically, every quarter of an hour, there'll be something new and fascinating. So celebrate the 800th anniversary year of Holy Trinity Church between 10 and 5. And I think if you get hold of the church, then they can tell you more about it. There is a website, Holy Trinity Medieval Fair, with a fair spelt F-A-Y-R-E, all one word, .ning.com. So you can, that's something to do on the 12th. In the meantime, let's get back to some chocolate before Sam cannot restrain himself any longer and goes and eats it all. So what do people actually do at Experience Chocolate? Tell us what you train them in.
Okay, well, it's not so much a training exercise as a fun workshop. I had a very nice email from a lady that came with her daughter about a month ago, and amongst other things, she said three things. She said she described it as funny, informative and professional, and I thought that was three great ways to describe the event, and I couldn't really have done it any better myself. So the idea is that we run a group session for up to 24 or 30 people. People come on their own, come in couples, small groups, large groups, hen parties. We get a lot of girls looking for a nice bit of fun, but it's also creative so they can enjoy themselves. So we get a whole mixture of people in a session. We base ourselves in a hotel venue. We can just use a function room in a hotel, so we're very flexible and versatile in terms of being able to get to a venue, and that works for us really well. And basically we set up and people come in and I demo up each stage of particularly Belgian truffle making, and to know the exact details I'll have to ask you to come along. But basically we have all the chocolate there on site and all the ingredients necessary to make Belgian truffles, which I show people in stage form, three main stages, what to do, and at the end of the afternoon they will have made their own Belgian truffles, understood and learned a little bit more about chocolate, a little bit more about the skills and techniques of chocolate work, and all things that they can take away, play with at home, play with their own recipes, take it a bit further. And we also bring in all the bags and wrappings at the end that a professional chocolatier would have, so they can be a little bit creative at the end of the session for half an hour or so and just bag them and finish them and take them away looking really pretty and attractive, and having had a good time throughout, not least because we have a chocolate fountain there from the start, which is there all afternoon as well. So if they haven't had enough of the chocolate that comes across their desk, they can stuff themselves with a chocolate fountain.
I was going to say, how much do they sample along the way?
Quite a lot. Whatever comes across their desk, they can eat. So they either take it away or they can eat it while they're there. But there's, say, explanatory steps along the way. So it's an informative session. But if you've got a room full of people and a room full of chocolate and put those two together, it's quite a lot of fun as well.
I was going to say, they must be quite buzzy by the end, I should
say. Yeah, the secret is to use a quality chocolate, which we do. So apart from the sugar that's in the chocolate, there's nothing nasty in there. So it's all good stuff. So of course they're working hard. Yes, everybody's excited and has a lot of fun, but they're not climbing off the walls quite.
Well, no, I suppose it's the key is to have the high percentage chocolate.
Exactly,
really,
yes. And we do use a nice dark Belgian chocolate, so it's all good stuff.
The thing that did amuse me when I had a look at your website was the concept of hen parties and chocolate, particularly in the venue that you use. I thought that could get, I think messy might be the appropriate word.
It's me that gets most messy because I have a large mat under my station because I'm the one that throws it around a bit. But touch wood, and he says, touching the table, we haven't had too many major disasters yet.
Gosh, well, again, you mentioned while we were listening to the music that it's more for hen parties where they don't want to go out and be very lively.
Yeah. Well, we run our sessions in either morning or afternoon sessions, so the latest we finished at 4:30, which gives girls the chance to go on and have an evening out somewhere. But if they're looking for a day activity, it's the sort of thing that they can do en masse with mum and auntie and that sort of thing, because it's nice, it's creative, it's fun. We don't mind if they bring a drink into the session. They can make the afternoon go with a swing with a bottle of bubbly or something like that.
That's champagne truffles.
That's absolutely fine. Carry on. But it's the sort of thing that they can enjoy without it getting too silly, and which is nice for me because they all stay nicely in control, and everybody enjoys themselves.
One thing that my family with my children got very excited when I mentioned that you did children's parties.
Yes, we do. We can do the parties either, and I will make a special mention for the Ettington Chase Hotel, which is our Stratford venue, and they've always been very supportive of us. And in fact, they allow us more for them to run chocolate parties from the hotel there, and they will offer a very nice buffet as part of the party package. But it means it's very easy for mums to come in; they can just see the room without having to sort of do any setup or clean down at the end. And for little ones, what we do is I make up some chocolate pizzas in a little chocolate pizza box, and we have lots of melted chocolate which they can use for decoration purposes, and then lots of toppings and decorate the pizzas and play with a bit of truffle mixture as well. For the older ones, we do a little bit more in-depth truffle making, but again, it's chocolate fountain, lots of chocolate, and they also take their creations home at the end, so they've had a bit of fun and enjoyed it and learnt a bit as well.
Well, there'll be two girls in South Warwickshire listening very intently, and I'm sure I know what I'm going to get when I get home. I have my next party as a chocolate one, please, mummy.
They're going very well, actually. We're getting a lot of uptake on the chocolate parties, which is nice.
Well, you know, there's competitive party holding is an entirely new sport amongst mums at junior school. I mean, I dread to think what happens when they get to senior school, frankly.
But people are looking for something different, aren't they? That's right. You've got to find something new every time.
Indeed. And my youngest daughter's been to a raft of normal pizza parties. Mm. So maybe this is the next trend for next year.
I do hope so.
Indeed, and you're far enough away from a lot of them that they wouldn't all come, so it'd be cheaper. Isn't that stingy of me? Of course, I would welcome all the little darlings.
Yeah, of course.
But whether you would, I'm not entirely sure.
Well, we did some big, we did a couple of charity events before Easter, which was Easter egg decorating. And I had two sessions of 27 children, 1 till 3 in the afternoon, quick turnaround of the 27, 4 till 6. So I don't know why I let myself in for that one, but it was great fun, and they all really enjoyed it and took their eggs away at the end. So
I think you probably went to sit in a darkened room, didn't you, afterwards?
I think the mums did who'd organised it as well. They didn't realise what they'd let themselves in for as well until afterwards.
Goodness me. Well, if you're listening to that and thinking, yes, I know what I'm now going to do for my child's party, it's do you want to remind us of the website?
www.experiencechocolate, all one word, .co.uk.
MySCR.co.uk.
Well, you probably got a bit more of the end of that track than we were anticipating because we have just had the tasting session. My goodness. About a year ago, I did a couple of shows for Girl Talk on another community radio station, and one of them was around all sorts of different types of chocolate. And at one point, one particularly chocoholic guest just sat there and we asked her a question. She just went, I can't say anything else at all. I'm just blissed out here, full of chocolate. Excellent. No comments, no nothing, which for a radio presenter is really good because it's, right, next, please have an opinion. So while Sam is actually sitting here still eating them and composing his thoughts on why they were so particularly yummy, tell us what Sam's just eaten.
Okay, basically. Yeah, Sam has just eaten our Belgian truffles, which is a blend of cream and double cream and chocolate, and then they've been rolled and coated in a variety of toppings, coconut, icing sugar, and cocoa powder. I've brought along today. Sam not so keen on the coconut, so he's gone for the icing sugar and cocoa, and I think he's enjoyed those.
The icing sugar one's the best.
Excellent.
Oh, so nice.
So I think Sam wants to describe them, does he? But
okay, Sam can describe, and then you can come back
Alex,
to the actual
no
like
problem.
The why 60%
yeah,
is
yeah, that's
and
right.
All that
yeah,
kind
of
stuff.
Of course.
Okay, Sam. So why was
Simon?
That good
if you name
you?
One, I'll give you a description.
If I name one,
yeah, name one of the ones in the pack, and I'll tell you what I think of it.
Okay, the icing sugar coated.
That's the best one.
Okay.
Okay. Why did
really
you
really
like
sweet
it?
And sugary? Because
yeah.
It's icing sugar.
Okay. Right. So, come with the sweetness.
What's
yeah.
the other one?
There's a cocoa powder, yeah. which is obviously cocoa powder is a little bit harsher on the palate, I would say. Mm-hmm. But the chocolate in the middle is the same. But from my description, if you like, I would say it's rich, but very
yeah.
smooth, very velvety, and there's a richness of taste there that we get because. So we use a 60% cocoa chocolate in the blend, which is a nice dark chocolate, but not so strongly flavoured that it might be a bit over the top for some people's palates. But it's a very mellow, smooth dark chocolate, even though it's got quite a high cocoa content. So it works for everybody, really, and you'd be hard pressed not to like them. I think.
Yeah. It's quite.
Tell
addictive.
Us more about your reactions to them. I have to say there will be a photo going up onto Facebook of Sam being blissed out. But tell us more about the experience for you.
Wow, what can I say? It was lovely.
I don't know, Sam. I couldn't eat them.
It's a lot better than eating the sort of stuff you buy off the shelf, put it that way.
Yes, yeah.
You can tell the difference.
Yeah, that's hopefully that's something that does come out of it, that you can taste that they're handmade, they're simple ingredients, but you get that. There's a cleanness of taste as well with the dark chocolate in particular, but with a good quality dark chocolate, you don't get any sort of cloying, chemically sort of aftertaste. It's a very rich taste, but it's a very clean taste, and I think that leaves a different sensation after you've eaten them.
I always find when you buy, when you eat chocolate that's off the shelf, I always need water after it, whereas these, I don't really need water too much.
Yeah, I think in the classes, people will say that because they've eaten so much in such a short space of time, they do get quite dehydrated. So we do have jugs of ice water on tap to keep people going. But yeah, it can be a little bit dehydrating eating chocolate. But say chocolates like that, because they're just fairly pure and simple in terms of the ingredients, you know it's you get a very nice clean taste in your mouth.
True.
And presumably it's an overall kinesthetically good experience, isn't it? I mean, the only little bit I'm getting of it is they smell wonderful.
Yes, it's a shame that you are not getting
the taste as well.
But you just have to imagine the taste.
I know, I can. Well, I'm really quite enjoying watching everyone here looking blissed out, frankly. No, I'm just going to sniff. No, I would. Okay. No. There, you're getting a complete crunchy. I could pretend I ate one then, couldn't
yes,
I?
You could, yes.
I wouldn't sound like I was eating one. But no, it seems to be an entire experience. They are pleasant to eat as well as the taste.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Well, I think that's a very good review from Sam. And lots more than just the, did you like it? Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Right, well, we won't hear much more from Sam, I think for the rest of
the
show. Absolutely. So do you ever, I'm thinking of the 60% thing, if you can hear rustling to one side, I can assure you that's not me. No, it's all right, you rustle away.
No, I can't.
This is Stratford Community Radio.
Now, we've been talking about another famous chocolatier, and if I can say his name on the radio, then that would be a good thing. Willie Harcourt Coues. I mean, we were talking about people who get into chocolate from particular locations and the different nuances and fair trade and all that kind of thing. Do you ever get sick of it? Do you ever find that there are days when you just think, oh, goodness, I cannot eat anymore or look at chocolate?
Not really, no. Our workshops are run pretty much every Saturday, so there's a little bit of a lull in the week sometimes. So by the time I come around to the following Saturday and break open the box of chocolate again, it's absolutely fine and comes flooding back again. And the same manufacturer who we buy from for the dark chocolate, we also buy their milk chocolate as well, which is absolutely beautiful. It's very simple. It tastes very slightly caramelly, but I don't go anywhere apart from eating their milk chocolate as well. And I can eat that all day and every day, and frankly I do, so I have to be very careful not to eat the whole box at one go.
I guess that's acceptable. I went on a life coaching training course once where the lecturer said chocolate makes your clothes shrink. But I guess when you're eating the proper stuff, it's nutritious. It's all part of a balanced diet.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And would you say that you're a connoisseur, a la Mr. Harcourt Coues?
He's a funny chap, because I think his ethos is very much towards everything's got to be of the highest cocoa percentage. It's almost treating chocolate as a cooking ingredient, not as an eating ingredient, and which is fine. And I also think he sort of tips towards, you know, using it in savoury dishes and that sort of thing, which is quite logical, because if you look at the cocoa bean, it's a savoury plant. It's only because we've traditionally combined it with a ton of sugar to produce a sweet dessert product.
Well, it was used in Mexico with chili dishes and meat and things, wasn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the Aztecs were the pre-Aztec civilizations were the civilizations that became expert at chocolate and chocolate production, and it became very much an intrinsic part of their civilization, very ritualized, very much for the elites of society. And because they were Central Americans, their other natural sort of foodstuffs and staples were things like maize, which they used to combine with the chocolate. In fact, it stops the cocoa butter separating out from the cocoa solids in their production. And because of that, it got quite starchy. So then they thought they got this starchy, greasy porridge that's quite gritty as well, because chocolate is very hard. What are we going to add to it to actually make it into any sort of flavour? So logically, they would add chilies to flavour their chocolate product. And that's how it first came into Europe, along with other spices like nutmeg, for example. And because it was the Spanish that first invaded and conquered the Aztecs, it was the Spanish that brought chocolate back into Europe. And historically, and even today, the Spanish enjoy naturally spicy chocolate. They will combine it with spices and that sort of thing. And so chili chocolate that you now see as a bit of a sort of left field idea as a flavouring is actually bringing chocolate very much full circle back to how it was originally flavoured and enjoyed.
I was going to ask you if you've ever thought of doing the entire thing and going and buying a chunk of Venezuela and growing your own and then bringing it back to Warwickshire.
If I had the money to buy a chunk of Venezuela, I might be interested, but it's a different ball game when you're talking about setting up a plantation. The import and export of the actual cocoa bean would be a very different regime, if you like, to working with chocolate and producing chocolates at this end. But it's a fascinating process, and I think there is a lot of interest, if you like, and a lot of improvements that are going into working conditions and that sort of thing with the plantation growers themselves, which is obviously a good thing.
Fair trade has to be good.
Yeah, and I think cocoa's it's a classic commodity, if you like, that is very susceptible to having those fair trade principles imposed on it, in a sense, because it's quite visible and it's easy, if you like, to say, no, we're actually going to create better conditions for our workers.
And basically, if people have been listening thinking, oh, I really need to go and try it, after Sam's experience, you too can feel exactly like Sam did just then, which from the outside looked quite good, actually. I think Sam was enjoying himself at the moment of eating the chocolate and has certainly been stomping around the studio in a very energised manner ever since. give us the website address so people can share that experience with you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's www.experiencechocolate, which is all one word, .co.uk.
Now, we will, we've got time just to squeeze in your last track, or at least a part of it. What's the last one and why do you love it? The Billy Bragg one.
It's The Saturday Boy by Billy Bragg. I think Billy Bragg's become something of a national institution recently. I think back in the mid-80s he wasn't, but I think that speaks a lot for his longevity and the quality of his songwriting as well. And again, it goes back to my teenage years and speaks to me and takes me right back.
Absolutely. Well, we will play that in a moment, but this is Jackie King-Turner. You've been listening to your radio station, Stratford Community Radio. Thank you to Sam for the technical input and the tasting. I am so annoyed I couldn't. I just smelt great. That's all I can say. And it looks like it tasted great too. Photos will be on the This Much I Know Facebook page shortly. And a huge thank you to Simon Reed for revving us up about all things chocolate.
Thank you very much.
And remember to look at the Facebook page for the latest information and photos. Next week, we'll be welcoming Adrian Grubb of Stratford Town hosts to the show. You may have seen them wandering around in their yellow coats helping people out. And very possibly we'll be visited by Jane Hornby, who is the organiser of the Medieval Fair. So send in some questions, either when I'm on air to www.myscr.co.uk, go to the Contact Us section, info@myscr.co.uk, or send us questions, log them on the This Much I Know Facebook page in the meantime.
You're listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio, online at myscr.co.uk.